What's it like to be blind? To be a lawyer, a philosopher, an Uber driver? To scuba dive for the first time or to skydive for the 500th time? What's it like to have 6 months to live? To go to prison? To be gay in India? What's it like to quit a job and travel the country in a van? Join us as we explore human experiences to answer the simple question, what's it like? You can write in any questions, comments, or feedback for the episode on our Twitter, at What's It Like Pod. That's at What's It Like Pod, P-O-D. Make sure you hit follow to keep up to date with the latest episodes and content. Or you can send us an email on whatsitlike@munchermedia.com, where you can give us comments or even suggest other topics for future episodes. What's It Like is a Muncher Media production. Muncher creates other great podcasts, such as The Pursuit of Wellness, a show about holistic health. If wellness is a journey, The Pursuit of Wellness is the playlist. Check it out at munchermedia.com or iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. So with that, let's jump into the conversation. I hope you find it as illuminating as I did. So could you summarize your past 1 year?
Yeah, so in the past year, I quit my job. I built out a 40 Kenline cargo van to be a camper. And then I drove for 6 months, roughly 40,000 kilometers around the United States and Canada, and wrapped up just a couple months ago.
So just briefly, could you just walk us through perhaps a summary of what your trip ended up looking like? Cities, miles, what were the main points you hit and why?
Sure. So the trip was roughly 6 months, just under 24,000 miles. And I basically circumnavigated the entire continental United States. I also dipped into Canada in Alberta. I visited 23 national parks. And I visited, I don't know how many little towns, along the way, a couple major cities. I visited Denver. I visited Salt Lake City. I visited, Cleveland, Boston, and Raleigh, New Orleans, Austin, Albuquerque, and LA. And so those are just some of the big cities I visited along the way.
Do you have a reason why you chose this?
So when I was looking at this road trip, I had thought of three different routes. One of them was a Bay Area to Alaska. Another one was a larger Alaska to Patagonia trip. And then I had thought about, like surf spots, like spending 6 months hanging out at surf spots on both coasts. And then finally visiting as many national parks as I could. I settled on the national parks one for a couple of reasons. First of all, the time of year wasn't right for me to go to Alaska. Secondly, I wasn't comfortable driving through Central and South America without speaking the language and without having done more research. So I kind of settled on this national parks idea, which actually turned out to be great because I'm pretty outdoorsy. I really love spending time outdoors. I love hiking and camping. And also because it was pretty freeform. I didn't have to do a lot of planning to go to national parks. I had to pick up a national parks pass, which cost me $80 and let me into all the national parks. And I knew that there would be pretty good opportunities for free camping around national parks.
Why don't we go back to the beginning? What work did you do? And maybe you could just summarize, in fact, your career so far. And we could get into how you decided to take this adventure.
So after college, I was in the tech industry. I worked at a couple different companies, Qualcomm one, and then a small startup afterwards as a software engineer. I was there for 2 years, at which point I decided to quit my job.
And how old are you?
29.
What made you want to quit? Why did you want to quit?
So I was in a fairly high stress job, kind of overworked, definitely doing more than one person's job at a startup. I've been doing it for a couple years and it felt like the right time to leave for my own sanity and also just based on how the project was going. I picked a good time to go and then I quit. I knew I wanted to take time off. And I'd been preparing for something mentally for a little while and also financially. And so once I took the time off, I was ready to kind of jump into this adventure.
And what came first, the desire to quit or the desire to go around the country? Did you want to quit more or drive around the country more?
So I had, for probably the past year and a half to 2 years, I had been putting aside money for some sort of adventure. So I knew I wanted to do something. But by last summer or so, kind of everything was aligning. I didn't have any commitments. Personally, I knew I was going to quit this job, and like I had saved enough for a big adventure. So I knew I had something coming. It was just a question of kind of finalizing what it was going to be. And this notion of kind of taking off in a van and living on my own really, really struck me. So I kind of went with that. My quit date was purely based on, you know, what the project was doing and my budgeting. And so I chose to quit a little bit later so I could save money. A couple of months actually after I got rid of my apartment lease. And that just helped. That helped line up everything as far as how much money I was going to spend on the van, how much money I was going to spend on converting the van, and then how much money I was going to spend per month on food and gas and all the other necessities.
Just out of curiosity, what was that number that you wanted to hit in order to have a comfortable buffer to survive what lay ahead?
I budgeted $20,000 for the van and the van conversion itself, and then around $2,000 a month for the trip.
And did this represent the majority of your savings?
No, I had put all of this aside in a separate account for this.
So walk me through the preparation for the trip. Where did you start?
So I started with buying the van. I did a lot of research. This is something that's kind of become more popular as of late. And there's a good amount of information online as far as what vans are available, what vans people tend to convert. There's no guide as such, but you can kind of get a feel for what other people are doing. So I picked a Ford Econoline. It's a standard white cargo van that if you've been around the US, you've seen everywhere and you probably never noticed. They're ubiquitous, they're really easy to maintain, and they're very reliable, which is why I went for one of those as opposed to something like a Mercedes Sprinter, which is a little easier to live out of and gets better gas mileage, but the maintenance is kind of killer on that, and they're more expensive. So I started with the van. I bought the van actually last October, a few months before I quit my job, at which point I was already doing a ton of research. And so I bought the van when a good deal came up, and I started retrofitting it slowly, nights and weekends while I was still working during that time, up until when I quit. Once I quit my job, it took me roughly 2 months full-time to modify it. That included stripping out whatever was inside the van already, insulating it, installing a subfloor, mounting solar panels on the roof, putting a fan in the roof, putting in the walls and ceiling, putting in a final wooden floor, an oak floor, and then with my dad's help, building out birch cabinetry that included a bed, a bunch of storage, electronics, and a kitchen.
And where did you come up with the ideas to put all these things and make the decisions that you did about the van? Was it all through the online help, or did you have a goal in mind with what you would be doing with the van and build accordingly?
A bit of both. So I took a look at a lot of what other people had been doing. And there were some really cool ideas I picked up from there. And then just talking to people, in particular, my neighbors, one of whom had done this 40 years ago, he gave me some good insight into how he had set his up. And I had a good idea as far as like how I wanted the space to work, what I would use, you know, for instance, how important my electronics cabinet was going to be, whether I was going to have a kitchen or not, whether I wanted book storage. These are all things that people approach differently based on how they're going to use their van, how they're going to live out of it. So I had to take a lot of my own use case considerations in to how I designed it. And obviously, this was all experimental. I'd never done this before. I didn't really know how to frame it. I wasn't sure how I was going to live out of it, but I just kind of did a best. I picked a best approach according to what I thought I would like and ran with that.
So you spent 2 months building this full time after you'd quit. Did I catch that right?
That's right.
And what is going through your head at the time? Because you've just quit your job and the only thing you're doing in terms of productivity is building this van. I'm assuming you didn't have another source of income.
That's right.
What was going through your head at the time?
You know, in hindsight, that was kind of a scary period because I hadn't really committed myself, or rather I hadn't gotten on the road yet. And so everything was up in the air at this point. I had a van and an idea, but I got super involved in building out the van. And that was a very big part of this experience for me, was getting to work on this big project by myself and kind of design it all. So more than anything, I was just excited. I was super excited. I was kind of learning every step of the way. So I hadn't done any of these things before. A lot of construction type work, but different than what would normally be done because you had to adapt it to a moving platform, a platform that could get wet, a platform that encounters vibrations, you know, all these little things. So that the engineering aspect of that, I think, kind of appealed to me a lot.
I want to go back to something you said, that your dad was helping you out build this van, which brings to mind the obvious question. What did your parents have to say about how you were planning to spend the next 6 months or so?
So I kind of broke it to them slowly. Basically, once I decided I wanted to do this, I told them, hey, I think I want to take a little bit of time off after I quit my job. And they were okay with that. They were pretty aware of kind of how burnt out I was from my previous job, and it seemed like a good time to do it. So I started out by basically telling them that I wanted to take a little bit of time off after my job. And they had seen how burnt out I was from my previous job, and they were on board with that. And then over time, I kind of brought up that, you know, I wanted to do a road trip. I wanted the trip to be a little bit longer. I wanted to do a road trip in a vehicle that I had kind of built out. And because I did it gradually and I did this intentionally, I think they were pretty much on board with it. My dad, I think, was more than anything excited by the notion. My mom had some reservations, but once we got into the build, I think she saw how it was going to work out, and she was pretty excited about it as well. As part of preparing for this trip, I let my lease expire on my apartment. And so I moved out of my apartment end of October, right when the same day I bought the van, actually. And then for the next, I moved into my parents' place. My dad has quite a bit of woodworking equipment. So that was great because I had a driveway and I had a bunch of tools to work on the van with. From then until basically April, with the exception of some international travel, I was staying at my parents' place.
Before we move on to the trip itself, I just want to focus on you quitting your job. It seems like you just saw your trip as sort of almost a job in itself, even though it wasn't giving you any money. What was your mentality around that? How did you see this as part of your career? And did you think taking time off like this would impact your career? What did you think you would come back to when you did?
So to answer the first part of your question, I took this very seriously. It was a year off that I wasn't getting paid. And so there was a pretty big opportunity cost over there. So I wanted to make the most out of this year. And so whether it was, I tried to stick to a schedule when it came to modifying the van. I tried to stick to some sort of schedule when I was traveling. And every day I would remind myself that I was effectively paying myself to do this. I had put aside money to do this trip. And I was very conscious that every day, whether I was modifying, before I had left, when I was modifying the van or when I was driving around the country, I was spending that money to be able to do this. So yeah, I was very serious about it. And I did have concerns about how it would impact my career. I knew that my coworkers from my old job left and were continuing to progress their careers, and I wasn't doing that. And that was something to deal with. But at the same time, I realized that, you know, I was in this perfect opportunity or this perfect situation to take this trip. And if I didn't do it now, I wouldn't necessarily have an opportunity to do something of this magnitude later on. So I felt like whatever impact there would be on my career, I could probably get around that. And the experience of this past year would definitely be worth that.
What did you expect from the experience before going into it?
So I knew that this trip was going to be uncomfortable in some ways. It was going to be very novel. It was going to be exciting. And hopefully it would be an adventure. But beyond that, I really didn't have any expectations. I felt that if I were going into this expecting an epiphany or expecting to see beautiful sunsets every single night, as you often do with kind of like Instagram promoters that do this or like lifestyle promoters that do this, that I would be disappointed. So I was kind of a realist about that. I basically went in hoping to experience something new. And I totally met and exceeded my expectations in that sense.
I just want to clarify something for any potential listener who might be wondering this. Were you single when you decided to do this?
Yes. And that was a huge part of it. I had not been single previously when I was considering it, and it seemed like a pie in the sky idea. And then once I became single, all of a sudden it was a reality, and that was very, very exciting for me.
So the week before you're leaving for the trip, what all have you prepared?
A week before I had left, I basically was not ready to leave. I hadn't finished my cabinetry. I hadn't finished the blinds that were going to go into my van. I hadn't finished probably four or five other things. And I hadn't finished any of the electronics. And so I was basically scrambling. I had a lot of outdoor equipment, which I kind of tossed into my van. I just found a spot for it, toss it in. I also tossed things like my sewing machine and a bunch of fabric. And luckily, the way I had planned this out, I had a departure date of April 1st, and I had scheduled a two-week trip into the Pacific Northwest from the San Francisco Bay Area where I was based. And the 2 weeks involved spending 1 week at a good friend of mine's place in Portland, during which time I could kind of make any modifications I needed based on the drive up, and then also finish off my curtains, which were really, really critical for privacy at night.
And what about the day before?
The day before was all packing and minor little things that I had to deal with. So, for instance, like filling my cooler with food and ice, testing out my induction stove to make sure it worked, double checking my electrical system. Actually, and while doing this, I blew a fuse and my charging didn't work for the 2 weeks that I was on that temporary trip. Just little things to give me a little more confidence on driving. I also, especially because this was very early in my trip, I was very concerned about where I was going to sleep every night. So I had done a lot of Googling and I had called a few national forests, ranger stations, and basically said, hey, is it cool if I sleep over here? Where's the right place to sleep? And tried to figure it out along my route.
To be clear, when you say sleep, you mean sleep in the van.
That's right. So where was it a safe place for me to park for the night? And as the trip progressed, I became less and less concerned with that, but especially early on for my first couple of nights, this was the first time I had slept in the van. This was the first time I had slept, you know, without, for instance, a tent or at, you know, not permitted or at a campground, kind of boondocking, I think is the term that a lot of people use. And so being someone who generally follows rules, this was kind of uncomfortable and new for me.
So why don't we get into that? Walk me through the first few days. And in fact, even the very first moment when you push off from home, it almost sounds like you're going for a sailing trip or like one of those hot air balloons around the world kind of trips, you know? And did you make a big deal of like the departure itself?
I didn't really make a big deal of the departure because I didn't really want it to be about the departure. Taking off, like, especially coming from like this really driven engineering environment and then a few months of really working hard to meet a deadline on modifying the van, I was still kind of super gung-ho and very goal-driven, but it just in terms of like my day-to-day life. And so when I pushed off, it was all about, okay, I need to get to this next spot by this time. I need to get here by a certain time. I want to see these three places along the way. So sticking to that kind of schedule was a little bit stressful.
Why were you sticking to a schedule at all?
Because I didn't know any better. Because it was comfortable for me to live within a framework of a schedule at the time. And somewhere along, I think I was in Ashland, Oregon, where they have the Shakespeare Festival, which was, I think, 2 days into my drive. I realized that I didn't have to leave. I think I was getting lunch or something, and I said, I thought I needed to leave at like 2. And at some point I was like, no, I don't need to do anything. I don't need to leave at 2. I don't have anything to do for the next 6 months. I can leave whenever I want. And that was like the first revelation during this trip that I could do things exactly how I felt in the moment.
How long into the trip did you have this realization? Because to someone like me, it seems very obvious and intuitive. It seems like the freedom would be the biggest part of it all.
Pretty early on, but obviously not before I left, which is kind of funny in hindsight.
So when you left, you actually had like a route and an agenda in mind?
Yes, I had a route and agenda. Mind you, this is for the first 2 week temporary, like the first 2 week exploratory trip. I had a route and I had an agenda, and I was very focused on trying to stick to it, maybe because I was still trying to evaluate the van, whatever it was. But yeah, having that revelation was key to kind of being happy through the rest of the trip.
So on this 2 week exploratory trip, what were the first few days like?
Very exciting. I was still trying to figure out how the van worked, whether noises that were coming out of the van were normal, whether things were going to fall apart on me, because again, I had designed everything and I hadn't put it, this was me putting it through their paces. So were the walls or the ceiling going to fall off? Was my electrical system going to fall apart? Was I going to start an electrical fire? I had a ton of a pretty big battery bank in there. So it was all these little mechanical things that I was still trying to figure out and work out. And as kind of those settled down after the first couple of days, it became a lot more comfortable. I got into the groove of kind of sitting on the road and getting a feel for cruising for hundreds of miles at a time, stopping to take in the sights, stopping to cook food whenever I felt like it, that kind of thing.
What about this sort of angst for productivity that you hear about once people have been working in, as engineers or just in companies for a long time? What was your plan to keep yourself busy anyway?
I really enjoy learning about things. And this the building aspect was a fun opportunity to learn a lot. Once I was just driving, I quickly found that like I wasn't getting necessarily the mental simulation I wanted. So I started taking, I brought a ton of books with me on my trip. I was reading a lot. I was thinking up a couple courses online, and I would intermittently get to those whenever I had Wi-Fi and a good chunk of time to think about them and work. And then other than that, I did have some PTSD from my previous job. Definitely like part of the burnout stuck with me, and it took a little while to get through that.
In what way?
Decompressing from, I don't know, perceived injustices or the stress of, delivering on a day-to-day basis. Having that amount of time, especially once I had settled into the groove of things, was a little disorienting. So once I had worked through, okay, my van isn't going to fall apart, my electrical system isn't going to fall apart, I'm not going to have like a flat immediately, or my engine isn't going to overheat. Once I got through that, then having that amount of time to myself and having that amount of time without any specific goal was disorienting. And so I would spend a lot of time thinking about that. I would spend a lot of time reading, or, you know, consuming media because I wasn't sure what else to do. And it was definitely an adjustment process. Once I adjusted to it, I was a lot happier. But I think that this was also, again, part of something that I wanted to get out of this. I felt that like it's very easy to get into a situation where you're constantly running from one thing to the next and you never have time for reflection. And I wanted to create space for reflection during this trip. And so as the more time I spent alone, the more time I spent doing just this, exploring from one place to another, the more I allowed myself to reflect and be with myself, and the more comfortable I became with my thought processes. I didn't feel the need to kind of flood myself with media or like small talk or, you know, mindless, whatever else.
How long was this adjustment period?
Definitely, I think probably 3 weeks in, I was pretty comfortable. I spent 2 days or 3 days in Big Sur, just overlooking the California coast, in the mountains right above it. And, that's when I think I became very, very comfortable being alone. So I spent a whole day just sitting in front of the ocean, watching the ocean. The next day I spent finishing a book, that I had on my list for a while. And that's when I felt like I had really become comfortable, or I'd started to become comfortable, with my thought processes.
Was this a common experience for you to spend a day at the ocean or just read all day before you ever took this trip? Or is that something you found yourself doing only on the trip?
It was something I had done, but not anytime recently. Before that, I was working. Before that, I was in college and I was trying to fill my time. But if I think back to like my childhood, when I was in elementary school, I would spend a lot of time reading. There was an orchard behind my house that I used to spend a lot of time playing in during the summers. And that time that I spent was completely worry-free, and it was very, very liberating. And I felt like it was good for my soul. And so I feel like this trip the moments that I created in this trip, the opportunity for reflection kind of harkened back to my childhood.
Driving from one place to the other, hundreds of miles, no real agenda. I mean, you're driving from self-motivation, really. What are you thinking? What is going through your head? What does an ordinary day look like on such a trip?
I'm thinking about the basic mechanics of what I'm doing. Sometimes I'm thinking about, ooh, where am I going to sleep tonight? I'm getting kind of hungry. What do I want to eat? How much gas do I have? Where do I have to fill up? Is gas cheaper on this side of the state line or on the far side of the state line? These are the little mechanics. They kind of became second nature when I was driving around. But a lot of times I would basically zone out. Maybe zone out is kind of a bit of it's got a bit of a negative connotation, but it was meditative. And so I would sit there and I really wouldn't have much thought going through my head. I would soak in my surroundings. I would stop whenever I felt like it to stare out and look at what was around me. It was very liberating, I think, and I've probably used that word before, but just being able to look around and see things and not necessarily actively process them or maybe process them later was something that I really got into the habit of. In the beginning, it was very exciting. I was still very actively thinking about stuff I was seeing. So a lot of stuff seemed new to me. The way truckers drove on large roads seemed very interesting to me, and I would spend time thinking about what they were doing. I would stop a lot to take a look at flora and fauna nearby. And then as the trip progressed, I'd say probably like a month and a half in, I had, with the exception of one weekend I spent with a buddy who came out and visited me, I had been alone for a very long period of time. And that's where I noticed that my motivation was flagging a little bit. And I think it was because of the loneliness that I was experiencing. So at one point, I think I'd been by myself for maybe a month, month and a half, and I was in Utah, Colorado area. And aside from being able to call people whenever they were not working, I was pretty much on my own. I was oftentimes camping on what's known as BLM land, Bureau of Land Management. It's public land that, for the most part, in America, you can camp anywhere you want on that land. And so I was camping on a lot of land like that, which is very desolate. Oftentimes, I wouldn't see anyone else for the entire duration of 3-4 days, however long I was on that land. There wouldn't be any cell signal. And so I'd be completely cut off from civilization and from other like human interaction, which was great for what I wanted to do, but also became incredibly lonely. And so I felt that that affected a little bit how I experienced the trip. So I would yearn for more company, for more like human interaction doing that. And I would go to, for instance, local bars, local breweries, and I'd hang out at the bar and just strike up conversations with people, which I had never done before. Or I would go out of my way to get food at a place that looked like it was going to be more social, or there'd be more, you know, other people like me over there. And then further on after that, I actually had a pretty regular cadence of meeting people on a bi-monthly or monthly basis. And that kept the loneliness a little bit at bay. So I would have time where I'd be, you know, sharing my experiences with a friend of mine or a set of friends of mine, and then time where I was making those experiences on my own.
I'm sure you've seen the movie Into the Wild. Mm-hmm. The lesson from that movie seems to suggest that it's almost antithetical to finding yourself to take a trip like the one you just did. I'm just curious what your thoughts on the movie are.
What was his name? Alexander Supertramp?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, he annoyed me. I mean, showing up in the woods with a 10-pound bag of rice and a 10-pound bag of beans or something like that was just... I mean, I get where he was coming from, but I wouldn't do that. I think I'm too much of a preparer and I'm not enough of a dreamer to kind of approach it that way. Like, there are people out there who are going to find himself, and if I remember the book correctly, I think he was going out there to find himself. I didn't go out there with that sort of expectation. I just went out there with looking for new experiences, and I think I found them. And honestly, I feel like keeping my expectations at that level helped ground me. It made sure that I wasn't disappointed. It made sure that I didn't go chasing after something that might not be there and come back, you know, I don't know, heartbroken or something.
Were you homesick? Did you crave home? And also, did you ever miss work?
I did not crave home, and I didn't miss work. One thing that I found about, this is kind of a reflection that your question brought up, is that one thing that I really noticed on this trip was that my perception of time changed pretty significantly. In that, I think I was making a lot of new memories. Every single day was a new experience. Every single day was new from start to finish, and there was nothing routine about it. And so every single day stuck out in my mind a little more than a work day or a work week would. And so my perception of time stretched. And in thinking about it in hindsight, it reminded me a lot of my childhood, where every single day going to school was a little more different than going to work as an adult or even going to class as a college student. And so a lot more memories from your childhood tend to stick out in your mind. Days felt longer when you were a kid than they do nowadays. And so my experience during this trip felt a lot more like the experience of time that I had as a childhood. For instance, I would call people maybe... I would call certain friends maybe like a couple times a week. And every time I spoke to them, it felt like ages had passed. In the working world, if I was to call someone once or twice a week and both of us were working, there we would have barely anything to catch up on, right? It's not like much has changed in that amount of time. For me, a huge amount had changed in that short period of time, because every single day I was making new experiences, I was making new memories. Yeah. So looking back at it, thinking about all the memories I made, I knew home was always going to be there for me. I knew at some point I was going to go back to my career. And so I didn't really miss home or work at all.
How different was your experience of the United States versus what you perceived it to be before the trip?
Yeah, that's a good question. I knew growing up in the San Francisco Bay Area and living there afterwards that I was in a bubble. It's a relatively affluent area. It's definitely more diverse than the rest of the country. And people are constantly talking about one thing, and that's tech. Outside of the Bay Area, things are very, very different. And I was concerned that maybe I would be perceived differently for having different colored skin as an Indian American. I thought I would be perceived as like the biggest threat to America right now, which are brown people, according to certain people. And so it was something that I was concerned about, and it was something that I was very aware about. And I definitely, as I was traveling, I would be very careful to see, oh, are people looking at me weird? But what I found was that overall, I had really, really great connections with people all around the country. And maybe at first, the fact that I looked different than what they were used to made them be a little more standoffish. But once I got into conversations with people, for the most part, we were great. There's one incident that stands out. I was at a bar in Western Colorado, outside of a national park. And I got to talking with a guy about a basketball game where my local team was playing someone else. And we got to talking, we're getting along great. Then I mentioned I was from California, and he told me that he considered everyone who lived between San Francisco and the Mexico border in California to not be Americans. And I didn't really know why. Maybe because they on average voted differently than how he voted, but it was interesting to me. And at first I was really offended. I didn't really let on. I kind of brushed it off, but afterwards I thought how interesting it was that someone who could have such a strong, different political opinion could still be someone I got along with really well when having, just idle conversation. And it kind of made me reflect on the human condition, America as it exists today, which is pretty divided, and people as they exist within America today who are not all that dissimilar.
What about your perception of the natural beauty of America? Is that something you already knew about? And how did that compare to the real experience?
So growing up in the US, we always talk about how beautiful America is, and especially large swaths of the West, which are pretty untouched, are famed for their natural beauty, and people will talk about coming to the US to see them. And as a kid, I was fortunate enough to be taken to national parks by my parents. But the sheer magnitude of it, and especially seeing so much of America's beauty in such a concentrated period of time, I wasn't prepared for it. And I knew that I would see a lot, but, it was definitely breathtaking. There were certain national parks where I didn't know what to expect. And I was so pleasantly surprised by how beautiful they were, by how lucky I was to be there at the right time of the year. It was awe-inspiring.
Talk to me about when your trip is winding down. You know you're coming to the end of this sort of phase that you've been through. What is going through your head? Do you consider extending it? Why did you have an end to the trip in mind anyway?
The end to the trip was mainly motivated by financial reasons. Like, I had a budget. I had gone over my budget by as much as I was comfortable going over my budget by. And so I knew that I needed to cut it short or figure out a way of sustaining this more long term. I am the kind of person who is more comfortable doing one thing at a time. And so I figured it was probably time to come back and figure out how I was going to get back into my career. And then not entirely abandon this trip, for instance, you know, take two week long trips when I can in the van, but maybe not extend it for another 3 months, 4 months, 5 months. Winding down the trip was kind of a mix of emotions. I was really sad to know that I was close to kind of a safe space. I was very being in uncomfortable positions, being in new environments was very exciting for me during the trip. And coming back into a safe space was a little bit boring. So as I got closer to California, as I got into towns that I'd visited before, as I got closer to friends where I knew I could crash for an indefinite period of time, I definitely felt a little down because of that. The flip side to it was that being constantly on the move for 6 months without, you know, any stable home base, without some of the creature comforts that you become accustomed to, is really, really draining. Creature comforts, not so much, but definitely having like a place to call home, a place to come home every night, a place where you kind of keep your stuff and you know what to do in that area. Not having that is very draining. So I was pretty excited to be in one area for a while, to not have to think about where I was going to sleep at night, and not stress out about being woken up in the middle of the night by someone who saw my van and thought it looked spooky.
Where did you sleep for the most part during your trip, especially in urban areas?
Yeah, so as I'm west of the Mississippi or in rural areas, I was in Bureau of Land Management or National Forest Land most of the time. And that was honestly the best place for me to sleep. That's where I slept the best. That was the most beautiful. And I would have massive, gorgeous vistas to myself. In urban areas, I would sleep at truck stops, and Walmarts actually. Walmart has a corporate policy where they, for the majority of Walmarts will allow, RVs and campers to spend the night in their parking lot because they know they make some money off of people coming in. And so that was, I would roll into Walmarts. If I was showing up in an urban area late, I would just roll into a Walmart and park in a corner of the lot. And I generally wouldn't be the only person there. There would be people in bigger RVs and more, obvious campers around me. In spite of the convenience of these, it's not the greatest experience to sleep in these parking lots. It's a little stressful. There's noise oftentimes from people driving by. Sometimes you're kind of skirting legality when it comes to sleeping in a parking lot. And so you really don't want to be noticed. And so you don't use your lights as much in the van and things like that. So, and also just sleeping in a new place every night, even though you're still in your van, you're in a new place and it's apparent to you because the van is not that much of an insulator from the outside world. It's just not the best sleep. You're kind of on edge all night.
So what was it like to actually come back home?
It was relaxing. To come back home. I parked in front of my parents' place and I walked in and ate some food that my mom had cooked and then hung out in my childhood room and everything was kind of where I expected it to be. It was very comfortable to be back.
What about over the course of the next few days or few weeks as you thought back to the trip, what was going through your head?
After a few days of decompression, catching up with friends, I started getting the itch to travel again. And luckily I squeezed in a couple plane trips, a trip to the East Coast, a trip to India. And so I haven't been in one spot for too long, but the itch is coming back and I know it. And hopefully I'll spend a week or two in Yosemite when I'm back in California.
Talk to me about maybe the lessons you've learned or how you think you've changed as a result of your decision to take this trip and the 6 months you spend on the road.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that I took away out of this trip was a comfort in unknown situations. So as someone who before this trip, I was someone who would plan a lot for an unknown situation and over prepare. And this trip definitely instilled a lot of both building out the van and being on the trip instilled a lot of confidence in me as far as being able to take on something really big and make something meaningful of it, whether it was like the van, which I had no experience with, whatever. I actually, when I got done, I was pretty proud of what I'd built with my dad's help. And I still have the van. I don't, after the amount of effort that my dad and I put into it, I'd have a lot of trouble selling it. And also just being in a different place every night, not knowing what I was going to do and always making it through it fine, gave me a lot of confidence to kind of approach unknown situations and make sense of them and kind of run with them. I think all this has made me a little more calm as a person, patient when I need to be, but then also less afraid of taking risks when I think they're going to pay off. And these are just general things that I wasn't necessarily hoping to get out of the trip, but I'm glad that I did. And time will tell whether they have more significant impacts on my life, but all in all, I'm very happy with what I got out of it.
Would you recommend this trip to other people or something in a similar vein? If your answer is yes, which I feel like it might be, could you also talk about the downsides? You know, it doesn't seem like it was all fun and games, you know, whether it's the stress of your van or sleeping, as you mentioned. Could you just weigh the positives and the negatives for us?
Yeah. So I would definitely recommend this to other people. I think it takes a certain, I think everyone has something that they could gain out of this, but it takes a certain kind of person. You have to have a certain comfort level to be able to actually start doing this. And take the leap of faith and run with it. And not everyone, I think, is comfortable doing that or willing to do that. And that's okay.
What do you think the right and wrong reasons are for doing it?
I don't think someone should go into this with the expectation that they're going to have an epiphany, with the expectation that they're going to fix any fundamental issues in their life. If they're running away from an issue, then they're going to come back to that issue. And so definitely don't do it for that. But if you're looking for a new experience, if you want something different, if you want to, I think it's very easy to get caught up in a routine that's kind of prescribed for a lot of people, which is, you know, go to school, go to college, get a good job, make money, have a family, And there's nothing wrong with those things. And those are great things to have in your life. But it's too easy to kind of just fall into a groove and not really live a little or have unique experiences. And this was a fantastic opportunity for me to do that. The experiences I had, the places I saw, the people I met, all really great. The negatives were pretty small. One thing that I would say is not necessarily a negative, but more like a cautionary tale for people is that I was really fortunate to be able to be in a position where I could save the money to do this, and not a lot of people are. And that's something that struck me on this trip, that a lot of people told me that I wish I could do this trip, but I have work and I have to support myself, or I have responsibilities. And so I would, for everyone who wants to do this, I wish you could do it. There are certain people who won't be able to do it, and that really sucks. But I know that there are people who do it on a shoestring budget. And, you know, if you want it bad enough, maybe you can make it happen. As far as negatives, you know, some people will say little things like not having a bathroom in the van can be, you know, frustrating. For some people, that's a no-go. I learned to love pissing in a bottle. I actually think it's better than pissing in a toilet now.
And if you pull back a little bit more from the trip to when you decided to quit your job in the first place, what about that experience? Do you recommend that to other people? Did you gain something out of just that?
I wouldn't recommend quitting your job to everyone. There are people who are really happy in their careers who feel like they're growing a lot. I would say that maybe quitting your job is a detriment to where you want to go and what your goals are. I think most people that I interact with could benefit from taking some time off to do something different, do something unique, and kind of push themselves outside of their comfort zone. Whether that's taking a trip like this or doing something else, I don't know. There's probably a right one for everyone. But I definitely recommend that, like, if you can do this, if you can find something that you're passionate about, if you can find an adventure that's going to, like, make you feel uncomfortable and get you to do new things that you wouldn't do otherwise, I think you'll grow as a person and gain something valuable out of it.
Would you want to do this trip again?
I would. I would definitely want to do this trip again. Not necessarily in the same way I did it. I'd have to find another way of challenging myself. And maybe that's traveling with someone else so I don't have as much personal space. Maybe that's doing something a little more aggressive. Or maybe that's, you know, not doing a van at all and sailing around the world or you know, driving across Asia or something like that.
So were you documenting most of your experience throughout the trip?
Yeah. So on this trip, I took a ton of photos and I wrote a little bit, and I put most of that up on a blog. The blog's called brownmaninavan.com. And I treated it kind of like a personal journal. But I think that, you know, if you check it out and you're interested in this kind of stuff, you might enjoy checking out some of the pictures, seeing build write-ups on how I built my van, and then reading up on some of the places I visited along the trip. I mentioned photography. One of the things that I really got into during this trip was photography. I realized I was going to be going to some of the most beautiful places on this continent. And so I picked up a little mirrorless camera and learned how to take photos and kind of worked on that craft throughout the entire trip and derived a lot of joy from it. And now it's a really big hobby of mine.
Very cool. Well, this has been really fascinating and interesting. I just want to give you the stage for a moment. Do you have any message for any potential listeners who are no doubt wanting to get an insight into what it's like to quit your job, what it's like to be on the road for 6 months, what it's like to undertake a project of the nature that you did? Any parting words for them?
If you have the opportunity to make something like this happen, I would say go for it. I'm sure you'll gain something very meaningful out of it, especially if you come to it with the mindset that you want to really devote yourself to it.
Great. Thanks for talking to me.
Thank you.